Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. This is Ever Beyond. This is the 9th of the 9th. It is 11 o'clock. And it's the closing ceremony of the Paralympics. And nothing has happened. Well, apart from the closing ceremony of the Paralympics. But nothing drastic has happened. No false flags. Celebrations of, well, you know, no satanic rituals of sacrifice, at least at this time, and everything seems all right. So I suppose, in a way, there's a sense of relief. But I've had this terrible sense of anxiety and grief for the last couple of days, and unable to sleep. And unable to sleep right. Anyway, I would wake up. I'd go to bed at like 9 o'clock in the evening. Wake up at midnight. Be up for a few more hours, then go back to bed at 6, and wake up at 2. And it's crazy. Yeah, weird kind of sleeping habits. And I hope you haven't been suffering from, if you've been getting any of the same, you know, that you haven't been suffering for it, that you're just kind of riding it. I think there's no, it's best not to fight it if it's happening, these shifts. You know, it's like we're being pulled here, there, and everywhere for our attention, and some things need our attention. When we need to sleep, we need to sleep. And your body feels sleepy. Yeah, so Tracy's been having it, as she's saying, and Dave told me earlier he's been having it. This crazy sleep patterns. So, basically, I was hoping that the show would turn out exactly like this, that we don't have anything to talk about, that there's no false flag that's going on, that there are no nuclear weapons at the Olympic Stadium, and the Big Ben isn't being blown up as we speak. It's 11 o'clock now. You know, I suppose we have to wait till it's past 11:11, and then where do we go? Or 13:13. So, all right, so we can party. Anybody want to call in and tell some jokes? or tell a nice happy story about how things are going to be all right. I do get the feeling that this was a moment that had to be handled very carefully, and certainly in my own life, there's been a couple of moments today where delicacy and diplomacy were the order of the day, and I think we all came through it very well. So. Well done there. So, yes. What do we talk about? Yeah, well, exactly, you know. There is. I hope if you're interested in watching the end of the Olympics, I'll just paste that into the chat room there. Yes, the new chat room. Here we have. There is I don't know if you are aware of it. I suppose most people are aware of it, but... there's a robot in there, and the robot's called Hal. Actually, there's two robots. There's one called Hal, and one's called Hammerhead. And Hammerhead is the sort of automatic... he makes announcements and things. And Hal is incredibly sarcastic. He's a bit like that sarcastic alien in American Dad. Very acerbic. But, yeah, so anytime you mention the word Hal... this automated chat box robot answers you with some sarcastic comment. It's quite funny. There we go. So that's the thing. So we've got new people coming in. Interesting, yes. Well, good evening, everybody. Would anybody like to call in and tell me how their week has been? I've had weird sleeping habits. I've been incredibly grumpy. You ask all my friends. I haven't wanted to see anybody. I haven't been wanting to do anything. I haven't been wanting to move, even. You know, I don't even like doing anything quickly. Like, you know, when you're in the kitchen, you can throw things around. I just wanted to do everything really, really slowly, very, very carefully. There's a feeling that it's really important to place your feet exactly without any wastage. Right? You know, not to waste any movements, not to waste any moments at this time. That each of these moments is incredibly significant, and your actions determine how the future is going to turn out. And from what I can see, the future is going to turn out very well, that we're on a good timeline. So that was quite interesting. Yes, lots of rules. There you go. How. That's all right. That's what you do. All you have to do is say the word how, and he'll say something back to you. But it's a robot. Don't take it personally. He says it to everybody. He just likes everybody equally, I think. So... do call in on 686. No, that's the wrong one. What is our telephone number, Electronic Jeremy? Let's see what you say. Jeremy? Call in on 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. Thank you, Electronic Jeremy. So, what he said. There's the number. It's written on the thing. So, yes. Well. Avoid cat puke. Yes. Careful foot movement. Careful movements, indeed. You didn't, did you? Oh, Colleen. Oh well. Oh yeah, it gets between the toes. It's like that. Oh yes. So you're having fun with Hal. I find Hal a little bit distracting personally. But there you go. So yes, Hal could use a filter. If anybody got some topics. 775-657-5973. No, we're not on mute. I'm not on mute. I'm broadcasting. No, everything's fine. Let's try that one number one more time.
Call in on 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, that's right. And also, if you want to, of course, if you want to listen to this, you'll have to be hearing this you have to be hearing this in order to hear what I'm saying, which is that you click the little green triangle just below the globe that is spinning. There's a little player that gives you the stop button, a start button, and a volume control. So do enjoy our player there, just below the spinning globe, which you can zoom in and out of. It's quite fun. We've certainly had some great great fun here, and we've only had one recent hit, it says, from Winnipeg, Manitoba. That must be Tobias. Hey man, how you doing? Hey, yeah. So, I've done that number twice. Nobody's called. What's going on? Maybe I need to be online. Maybe it won't take me. Let me just put myself online. There we go. There, I'm online on Skype. You can call in. You can speak to me. How exciting that would be. Yeah. Yeah, I keep reading this chat box, and it's quite distracting because the only person who's talking is Hal. Yeah, and listening from the original WSR. Yes, the Rube Bot. So yeah, it's the if you could tell people to click the green triangle below the planet, that will make the sound work and. You get this jingle with Mike going, ooh, how fun. So, ow. Right. Where do I start? Where do I start? Well, grief, yeah. I played a gig at the local RAF base, and I was totally drained from it. I have no idea where all my energy went. It was like somebody had pulled a plug, in my feet, and like all my energy had drained away, and you know, it wasn't a particularly long set. You know, when it was, in a way, it was more or less like an evening's rehearsal. So, I really don't know what was going on there. Perhaps that people hadn't been interested in what we were saying, or what we were playing. Perhaps. They were just more interested in the football that was being played on the screens. So, there you go. It was and I had a kind of headache hangover, you know, ever since. And like I said, I've been very, very grumpy, not wanting to see anybody, not wanting to talk to anybody, wanting to be alone. It's been a very interesting time. Yeah. So. Energy, so yes, major commodity. Yeah, so I mean, there's an interesting topic to pick up on, which is the use of your energy. Your time is your energy, and I think there's so much compression that's going on now with time that we don't seem to be getting enough time to do all the things we need to do, or that we think we need to do, and that there's things that that need to be addressed immediately, and then there's things that can wait, and then there's things that we shouldn't really even be bothering with. It's just that we've been made to do so due to some kind of obligation. And if you're intending to live a calm and happy life, it's a good thing to start getting rid of those things. I would imagine that a lot of the people here who are listeners have already done this to a greater degree. That's how you let go of baggage. You let go of the things that you don't like doing, and move towards the things that you love doing. If you find that you're doing something that you feel you can't get out of, then there's some kind of lesson that needs to be learned first, which is, you know. that's what life's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. So conserving your energy for the things that you love doing is also focusing yourself in your soul's work rather than your personal work. Because the things that you love doing, those are the things that are indicative of your soul's work. Whatever it is, you know, even if it's, you know, weeding or counting books. I don't know. Whatever it is, everybody's got their own thing. Everybody's got a little uniqueness about them that has a unique gift to the world. And if you love doing it, then that's the gift, because everything that you do comes across with love. And if you don't like doing something, you know, if you're just doing something for the money and it's stressful and you receive abuse in the whole thing, then that's not going to do your soul any good, is it? Really. So, yes, everybody's away from the keyboard. Very good. So, lovely to see you all. Why isn't anybody calling in? I'll do anything. I'll sing a song. Actually, I got my guitar here, and I tuned it to 432 before, so there we go. Nobody's heard anything about any explosions or anything in London. Alright, let's see. No, don't think so. Okay, so what I put in the rubric for the show when I composed it earlier, as I said, I've had this odd feeling all weekend, and it's a feeling of grief mixed with a sense of wanting to be alone, and it's like a sense of delicacy, something very delicate. And I don't want to react emotionally to something, and I don't want to do that. You know, I just didn't want to have to bother with all that. And you know, things have come together in a very unique and perfect way. I think, you know, the people who are working with the light have done well today, because that's part of what I've been watching for. Really, you know, I think a lot of people have been talking about these two timelines, and many messages from my guides recently have said, you know, this is the time that we've been waiting for all of our lives. This is like the time that we're here for. And that our correct behavior at this time, our graciousness, our grace, will be rewarded, and not just because, you know, this is something that, when I say it will be rewarded, we'll be rewarded with a good life, a good future. So you get a lot of people who've been talking about timeline one and timeline two and the yellow book and all of this stuff. The yellow book. So this was a device that they ripped out of a UFO, and it could display things. If anybody's got any information about the yellow book, why don't you call in and tell me what about the yellow book? Because I think this is the moment that we need to know about this. This is something that Bill Brockrader, Mr. Eber Moore has been talking about, and he was assigned a project which was to examine all the data that was gathered from the device that they called the Yellow Book or the Cube. It had three rings which were like gimbals. So if you remember the film Contact, they built this device that had three rings that gimbaled against each other. This is what was created, and apparently it created a chronovisor effect, which is that you could look backwards and forwards into time. It was, you know, it's very like male sort of alien technology, magic looking glass that can traverse time and space. It uses like a kind of wormhole technology, and probably a plasma arc based technology. It was something that was displaying these images on it. And what would happen with these different scenarios appeared to be being displayed. So when they would look into a particular year in the past, they'd see one thing. But when they looked in the future, there were these like multiple ideas about what might happen. And so I remember reading about this several years ago from Project Camelot, and that there were reports that there was one of them had a future where Hillary Clinton was president. There were other futures, and there were some really dark futures. One of them was a New World Order type future. And this was the one that they were trying to push us all down. But what Bill Brockbrader found, you know, what he was brought into, apparently, was to try and solve the problem of the fact that they couldn't get the timeline that they wanted. And what Bill kept on, well, what he concluded was the timeline that they wanted, every time they tried to make that happen, because they were trying to do it out of their own free will, it forced it. It caused the that timeline, which eliminates free will, to more and more disappear. So they were trying to create a timeline that eliminated free will. However, free will caused that timeline to be less and less likely, and so. We are looking towards a bright future, but they're still trying to move, because this is the point of where these timelines are going to start to separate. And it makes sense for some reason. So things, this is a crossing point, I believe. So I would very much like to bring in my fellow host, Tracy Kennedy. Because I don't give her, I don't get much time to speak to her when she's doing her shows. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, GP. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Hang on, let me just get a level for you. Level for you. Yeah, there we go. Keep speaking. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Tired. I felt the same as you.
Okay. Right. There was a. Yeah. Weird, eh? Feeling like not talking to people and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I did. And I was asked on a couple of shows today, and I just wanted to sit back. I felt really strange. Hmm. You know that strange clock I've been looking at for the last couple months, that Illuminati clock?
The one that ends tonight?
It ended already.
Yeah, and?
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
What happened was there was a strange entangled eruption from the sun that seemed to have come out of nowhere.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Other than that, not much. There's been a couple kind of odd events. There's a lake in the Soviet Union, and I won't even try to pronounce that name. I'm not able to today, but it started steaming.
Oh, yeah.
A couple little odd things, but, you know, thank God nothing happened at the Paralympics. I know a lot of people have been looking at that.
Yeah.
Saying this was going to be the big one. I didn't feel it that time, but I still feel on edge.
Mm.
Unexplainably, too.
The sun has got a funny little face at the moment.
It's got a funny little face.
It's
yeah.
got a funny little twisted smile.
It does.
Hang on, let me just post that in the chat room.
You found that one, eh?
Yeah. All right, hang on. Who's this? Andrew's saying 23 earthquakes today.
Yeah, we've had some major earthquakes. But we'll see what happens in the next couple hours. I think when we get the full effects of this CME coming in.
Mm. Yeah, well, we had a blown light bulb tonight. That's that was quite
Did
fun.
You? Did
yeah.
you place?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's it. We're good.
Yeah. Did you see what Doctor Who last night?
No, I didn't, but I saw your update on it and I started laughing.
It was very funny, because it was like just kind of most of the way through the show, and it, like, all the good stuff had happened and the big battle, and, you know, they were kind of triumphant. And he was just saying to these people, you know, to steer this spaceship away from the Earth because it was coming in, and they, you know, couldn't have the control of the spaceship. And he said, you know, be very careful not to crash in the moon. The racists there are not going to be very pleased about it.
Yeah, I laughed. I said, uh-oh, see, it's true. Doctor Who said it.
Doctor Who said it.
Nazis on the moon.
Nazis on the moon. Well, it was dinosaurs in space, and I think it was a bit of a nod in an homage to snakes on a plane. But nobody said mofo.
That was the best line. I liked it. I liked that movie. I liked the one that everyone laughs at me when I said I liked it. I liked it. What was it, Iron Sky? I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, but apparently I have such a twisted sense of humor. Well, me and you, because we both thought that was funny.
Yep, I thought it was funny as well. Well, actually, the Nazi commander, the tall thin guy, he reminded me of somebody that I knew, which made it all the more funny.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, these tall blonde people. Interesting. So yeah, where were we? So do you know anything about do you know anything about Yellow Book, Trace?
No, I don't. I'm not even sure what you're talking about, to be honest.
All right, sorry, having a quick slug. Well, you know Bill Brockbrader, Bill Wood?
I do.
Right, he's on our show, and he had this interview with Camelot, and this is how he came on the scene. You know, everybody's been focusing on this seal business and all this child stuff, but actually what he came onto the scene was to talk about the Yellow Book. And it was this machine that was like the machine from Contact.
Yes.
You know, it's got these three rings that spin within inside each other. They always have three rings, right? The anti-gravity machine, the Searle effect generator, had three rings that roll. Yeah, that rings in a flat thing. But there are counter-rotating... Yeah, did you see... Just to skip off for a second, did you see my latest video?
No, I didn't.
I'll put that up as well, because it demonstrates what I'm talking about, which is inner counter rotation.
Okay.
And I'll post that in the chat room as well.
But I did see Contact, so I can picture what you're saying.
Yeah. So this is my Merkabah on the YouTube thing there that I just posted.
Awesome.
I had star tetrahedrons, right? I made one from copper a few years ago. I had one that is carved from crystal. They're quite common. It's almost like a jackstone, you know, but it's made from a piece of quartz crystal. And I had one that I made from... bamboo sticks, and they, you know, it had fallen down and fallen into disrepair. And the other day, I just thought, right, okay, today is the day that I'm going to fix this thing. And I remade all the little hanging bits of fishing line and copper hooks, and made everything just balanced perfectly, and everything's perfectly centered within everything else. And then I stuck a torch underneath it and filmed it, and that's what you see in the video.
Oh, cool.
Right. So, yeah, so basically this thing that I'm describing, have you seen that, the YouTube connection?
I see it now. You want me to look right now?
Yeah, you can look. You can just have it going. It's got an audio track, which is, you've probably heard that one as well. It's one of my little poems. But you can turn the sound off, which, right?
I have the sound off. I'm watching it. Mm. Oh, that's cool. I love the reflection, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So these are... That's actually Metatron's cube. That's what they call Metatron's Cube, and you know the most about. And it's demonstrating the process of counter rotation, which is like one thing's going one way and the one inside it is going the other way, and then the one inside that should be going the other way. And that's this. That's how this machine works. This is how the Yellow Book and the Searle effect generator and the Merkaba work. You have this counter rotation thing going on.
Well, that's amazing. You know, I was doing work on Metatron's Cube this morning. It's funny how you do that. I'll be thinking about something, and then I always think of Sunday as the start of the week for us. So it usually ends up, by the time I come on, we've already brought it up, that we all seem to be thinking in the same way. And that's exactly what I was working on today. Isn't that funny?
So it's Merkaba week in the in Wolf Spirit Radio.
It's Merkaba week in the house.
It's a very interesting thing, and so I repaired it and just got my little bright torch and filmed it for a while on my mobile, and looped it and stuff. I'm still trying to find a decent video editor. What did I do this one with?
Do you use Windows?
Sometimes, yeah. Windows works, but sometimes the format doesn't work. This is Windows Movie Maker, but you have to convert formats. I found a good thing. Yeah. It's called, what was it? Any Media? No. Oh, I can't. It's not like that. I'm just finding the editor that I used. Any Media to MP3 Connect. Converter or something. I think it's Twangs.
Because I thought you gave it to me or told me to get this one.
All right. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah. So just clip that out and made a little video. I just fancied doing it. You know, this is one of those things that happens. You know, I get these feelings to do things. I just feel to do this, you know. And I get into something, and then, boom, it's done. You know, and usually, like, making a video. I like making these little videos. I'm not very consistent. I don't, you know, I can't do, like, one a week or anything like that. But it's when I just feel to do something. I just get inspired to do something, make a video or something like that. We had a nice conversation today with the cows. We went down to look at to go down to the burn at the bottom of the thing, and we were on the bottom of the valley where the stream is, the burn, and on our right was a field that had two bulls in it, and on our left was a field that had about 30 cows and calves, and it was just like a kind of Sunday service. Because all of these cows were crammed into the corner of this field, opposite where the bulls were, and the bulls were kind of strutting up, and there was one, the older one, and he sounded like he was talking to them, and they were all watching him intently, and it was just like, this is cow TV. This is like, you know, he's the preacher. It's the Sunday service. It was such a funny thing. I caught it on video, so I might upload that one as well. Meanwhile, I digress slightly, Tracy. Thank you for...
with you.
Yeah. counter-rotation. So back to the Yellow Book. Yeah.
It's hard to stay focused.
I know.
Colleen and I were talking about that today, too.
Tell me about how you lost focus.
Well, first of all, I had a terrible nightmare last night, and I rarely have them. And I woke up at about 4 in the morning. I couldn't get back to sleep, so finally I just got up. But I've been sitting there, and then I tried to meditate, and then I put on relaxing music, you know, after an hour of it, I'm saying, okay, you're not sleeping, and you're not resting, and you're not meditating. Get up. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I started about 10 projects today. different things that I wanted to do around the house, a couple of things I've been working on builds, and I finished zero. I finished nothing. Then Colleen and I were talking, and she said, you know, I'm having a hard time concentrating. I said, I can't concentrate at all. I'll start on one thing, and all of a sudden my mind goes, and I'm off doing something else, and I've forgotten about the first thing that's not done. I completely burned lunch, which I normally don't do. Just it turned, it might as well have been toast. So, you know, nothing that I've done today has quite worked out the way I thought. So finally I just gave up trying to do anything.
Ah, then?
And relaxed.
Then.
Made a cup of tea. Said, you know, I'm not cooking anything. I'm going to eat yogurt. Yogurt is simple. You open the thing, you put it in a bowl. You can't mess that up.
It can splash. When you know, there are yogurt accidents because when you're peeling back the foil, and, you know, the pressure is building up. You're trying very, very hard not to hold it in the wrong way. Because when you hold it the wrong way, and you open the thing, the vacuum squirts in, the air comes, jets back out as with a whole bunch of yogurt with it as you're opening it. I hate that.
I hate that, too, but there is no yogurt accident.
No yogurt incident.
Every single household today.
Mm-hmm.
There almost was one, though, so that's funny. Because as I'm opening it, the phone rings.
Oh.
And I've been jumping all day, and I dropped it. But luckily, I was doing it over the sink. So, we're good.
All right. So, there was a bit of an accident with the yogurt.
Well, there's a droppage, but it takes me a while to open it because my hands are still... I don't feel much in my hands, right?
So, all right.
Opening anything is a bit of a challenge.
Mm. Do you have tools? Like pliers or, you know, things?
Well, yes, but when I have to use them, I'm usually upset, so I break them. And not accidentally break, I mangle it, I throw it on the ground, I just, you know. Yeah. I mutilate things when I'm upset. But they're inanimate objects, and they seem to be okay with that.
So... have you felt, you know, kind of emotional about things?
Yes. Yeah. Things have been making me...
Oh, sorry. That's the TARDIS just arriving.
Who's coming?
All right. Oh, that was Chris. Chris Noonan, who lives about 3 miles from the Olympic Stadium. I said, Chris, if you feel like turning the other way and just walking and far, as far as you can, just do it.
Just yeah, don't go. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, walk
What's
away.
What's he saying? Anything?
Oh, no, he's just going to the supermarket, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I may be sometime, you know.
Good. So are they, they're doing the closing ceremonies as we speak, right?
As we speak, yeah.
Okay.
They should all be walking around with their flags now.
Good.
They've done all the music, they've had Coldplay, they've had Rihanna, they've had Jay-Z, all the Illuminati faves.
Oh, yeah. They're just having fun now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because, you know this show you did a few weeks ago? We'll get back to the yellow book. You know this show you did the other week ago, and you were talking about the bell, the book, and the candle.
Yes.
You know, it's this, and what's the origin of that, Tracy?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, of course, Disney played on that, and I think they used bell, a book, and a candlestick, but. A bell, a book, and a candle is what you use for conjuring. It's conjuring, three conjuring tools, basically. And the book is the word, you know, and it's used in different ways, but the book is the word.
Mm-hmm.
The candle is light, and the bell, of course, sound. Three things you need for creation. Creation of a story, creation of an event, And we were talking about the Olympics at the time, the regular Olympics, and the bell and book and candle were used several times during the opening ceremony, which, you know, it couldn't have been any more perfect, because I think you and I had been talking. I said, you know, this, they are doing a tribute to John Dee and Shakespeare, and didn't they have 007 drop down with the Queen?
With the Queen.
Good evening,
Miss. See from the heavens who came.
Fell.
Yeah.
Chair and said, I should call JP right now. Did you see it? Did you see it? And I think he came online right after, and I'm like, did you see it? Yes. I went to say, perfect. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Yeah.
So there was a bell, mm-hmm. you know, the great big bell thing, which was a controversy.
Mm-hmm.
They had all kinds of lit candles around for the torch. And they did a homage to scary children's stories. I'm still trying to figure out why they brought in that severed baby head.
Severed baby head?
Yeah, which was terrifying. They brought in this baby doll thing. It was creepy.
Oh, wasn't that supposed to be baby Harry Potter?
I don't know.
Because he cut a ziggurat on his forehead. That never healed.
Yes. Was that baby? I don't know. It seemed more like they're just bringing in dead babies. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah, it was a bit of a kind of odd thing to draw out of the great history of British literature.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing to all the little children, and then we're going to celebrate the starting of the industrial age, where we had all the little children actually building.
Hmm.
The machines and working in all the factories, and I'm like, wow, we're going there. And they even did a pirate scene. We're going to say, yes, we were pirates, and we're proud of it. And they had Annie Lennox on there, on the pirate ship, which I love, because I love her.
She's a local girl. She's from Aberdeen.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Well, it's, again, and, you know, Bell, Book, and Candle were one of the things John Dee used in his scrying, you know, prophecy, for people who don't know that word. And Bell, Book, and Candle was something that was used in one of the Shakespearean clips talking about a magi again. And all of these things keep coming up over and over and over again.
Well, it's all about ceremony.
Yes.
I've been, for the last few months, I've been working in town. In this Chinese tea house. I've been doing ray readings, but while I've been waiting and just hanging out there, I've been doing the tea ceremony, and that's what it does. It's okay, so it doesn't have the three. It's a different way of engaging the senses, but essentially the smell engages the nose. The feeling on your skin engages your sense of touch,
yes.
of the air, the color of the liquid engages the sense of your vision. Everything is designed to bring you into the moment. Lighting a candle is mm-hmm. a portal, isn't it?
Yep. Lighting the way.
Yep.
The way.
The sound yep. clears the room. Clears the space.
Yes.
And the word refills it. We were talking today, I was talking with my two friends, and I was showing them how to magnetize water to make your own homeopathics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to magnetize a needle, Tracy?
Well, I have little magnets.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure you know a better way. Do you have a handy-dandy one?
So, do you know how to do that? How to take a needle and to make it in a magnet, to make a magnet and make a compass from that needle? You ever done that?
In water.
In water?
A long time ago.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had it in all water.
Right. Oh yeah, you float it on a piece of cork. You take a cork from a bottle, slice that, and put the needle into the cork, and it'll spin round and find north. But in order to magnetize it, right, what you do is you take the you take a permanent magnet, and you stroke the length in the same direction. You keep you stroke it down the length, and then you pull it right away, and then you start again at the other end and pull it along and sort of to the end, and then take it away, and so you make this kind of big loop with the hand that holds the magnet. Anyway, you can do the same with water. And essentially you hold one glass of water in your left hand, and with the right hand you project your magnetism into the water, and it's like you're brushing it. Like, you know how you can brush your hair and everything comes straight?
Yes.
If you're lucky. Everything becomes aligned. So it's like you're using your hand, and that deprograms it. That sets it to be magnetized, like formatting the hard drive. And then you can hold your hands on it and set your intent into it, and it can become a homeopathic energy medicine. And you can give this to your dog or your cat, or, you know, stick it in your goldfish bowl. It has the effect of being a homeopathic, because you're putting a frequency into it.
Amazing.
So there you go, how to make medicines. And I've done it. I've given it to my son when he was little, and, you know, you can make one that will... You know, it's just like a magic potion. I mean, it really is. You just hold it there and say, make this, make my son's stomach not hurt. And you give it to him, and yeah, there you go.
You know, I was just thinking, kind of off topic, off topic, but something brought up. So this is the Paralympics ending. On Friday, when I was talking about transhumanism, you know what they used the word para for?
Used the word what?
Para. Para.
All right.
It's used as a transgenic term, something not quite human.
Right.
I'm not loving that word now, Paralympics. That's not cool.
Parahuman.
Yeah, parahuman is the term they're using for it now. Parahuman means human and something else.
Oh.
It's their new catchphrase for...
Transgenic.
Transgenics, yeah.
Which sounds too much Monsanto, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Monsanto loves it. They are big funders, big funders.
Yeah, because you have paramedics, don't you?
Paramedics.
People who aren't quite doctors, have never taken the Hippocratic Oath, are not bound by regular medical conventions, and will snitch on you.
Usually better.
Sometimes, but we'll also snitch on you.
Yeah, yeah. Heard that a lot, too. Take your stuff.
Got excuse me.
But, you know, there's so many things, so many ways words are used against us. So many, like you were saying, you know, they're just a Illuminati and symbols. And it's, we don't want to say we're doing anything religious, but we're going to do something religious in every single term we can. Every way, it's all ritual and, you know, bread and circus.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time. For everything.
It's, well, this is the year. They are losing it.
Yeah.
But this is their battle.
Time.
They are trying to win our hearts and minds. But not by, with vinegar.
Yeah, not hugs and kisses. We're not getting much of them.
No, not much of the hugs and kisses thing.
No, we're not getting enough of them.
So, yes, Paralympics, they just finished. Oh, well, no news from Chris, so I assume that he's just gone to the...
No news is good news, but I'm glad it didn't end up with a big bang.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, I saw some incredible auroras early, not here, I'm too far south. Although that doesn't seem to matter anymore. But I saw some from Alberta and all over the world this morning, and I'm like, well, what's causing that? Where the sun's been quiet for a couple of days, and then it sparked off a good one.
Sorry, I just got caught. I just looked out the window, and it's absolutely stunning. The sky is incredibly clear. The stars are out. There's no aurora, but it's just stunningly beautiful out there. As the
gorgeous blue sky. Right now.
All right.
Gorgeous. And we've had clouds all day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite cloudy earlier on. Looked like it was going to be storming and raining. But anyway.
You too. It didn't do it. Nope. Now it's looking beautiful and open and perfect blue skies.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, that's a feeling, you know, that there was this sense of like...
Foreboding,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Tense. I thought, what's going to happen? And Donna Van Meter and I were counting down the last 2 minutes of it. We got online and we're looking around the world. She's saying, okay, you do Western Hemisphere, I'll do East. We'll see what's going on.
Oh, our reporter's on the spot.
We were the reporters, because I wanted to have something for you today, because I saw your topic and said, well, if something's going on, I'm going to have the news. But there were events, but nothing weirder than it's been happening for a while.
Yeah.
The regular weirdness, our normal weirdness.
Yeah.
Although, you know, a couple lakes turning red, rivers of blood.
Oh yeah, the rivers of blood. I've been putting it out because do you remember our Venus flight? Not Venus flight, that Venus transit program.
That's right. Yes.
And I was banging on about the trail of Venus, and you know, all these things that are repeated in the Bible just show that, you know, that was contact with Venus. This is what you get when you make contact with Venus's tail.
Exactly, and that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been talking about the last little while. And all these conjunctions usually mean something. There's, I guess, an odd moon alignment that happened at 9/11 that's happening right now.
Yeah, that's true, because this is if you don't count the
leap year and stuff.
Leap years, then this is 11 years to the day, isn't it?
Yes.
Even though it's not a Tuesday.
Yes.
Don't like Tuesdays. Mondays are pretty crap, but Tuesdays, it's like, oh my God, please.
How many more days of this do we have?
Yeah, I know. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, the cat's found something.
Uh-oh.
You can hear in the background.
My cat was odd today. Woke up and she was just making all kinds of noise, very vocal kitty in general, but just telling me something. And I'm like, look, I'm not understanding your speak today.
Mm. Yeah. And this funny thing with the bulls, that was a very odd moment. But yeah.
Yeah, and talking too. So I went outside on my patio.
Mm-hmm.
I have... just, you know, a little patio. I'm up on the 6th floor, but I sit out there in the morning. I really like that. I have my tea out there, and cat came out with me. But after a bit of time, she stayed in the house and was just telling me all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what your problem is. But almost as if she didn't want me out there in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a very odd day, very kind of the road to Mordor kind of day.
Yeah,
and then everything's all right.
They don't notice us. They noticed us? And it looks like we, you know, still it's almost 7 o'clock here, and still looking pretty good.
Hmm.
I'm optimistic.
Yes. Yes. No, I think we're on the right timeline. That's the correct timeline.
I think so. I think we're where we're supposed to be, yeah. and worrying about it's not going to help either way. It's going to happen whether we're worried or not.
Yeah. Well, you see, I had a a long meditation this morning, as you may probably a lot of us did. You know,
I bet you. I bet you most of us were doing that very same thing.
I was praying on the toilet. Let me tell you. TMI, sorry. But anyway, it's a good place, really. Because your base center is open, your crown center is open, you know. It's a place where many people get spiritual and inspirational flashes. So anyway, meanwhile. I was definitely... You know, like when you're on a railway line... And they have these things called points,
yes.
where the rail can go one way or it can go the other. And the points have to be drawn across. It's like a little piece of rail that slides across and guides the train off onto the onto one track or another. And it feels like that we've just gone across those points.
Yes, that's what Donna was saying too. All of a sudden, both of us, the skies went very, very cloudy.
Mm.
And I said, well, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe they're getting on their ships and they're getting out of, getting off our planet.
Yeah.
They've all taken off. They're all gone in their bunkers or whatever. Maybe they're gone.
Mm.
Could be that, too.
Could be that. Maybe that was Maybe they've all gone down into their bunkers as well.
Yeah, maybe the clock was saying when that age officially ends.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Or when that clock ends, that's when the bunkers are closed, and, you know, if you're not in, you're not in.
Yeah. Or they got on their time ships and shuffled off to Buffalo or wherever they go.
Have you got your ticket? You remember there was this Camelot game. Have you got your ticket to ask all these people? So yeah, this is the thing. So
we're good.
Yeah, Yellow Book. The Yellow Book was saying
many different things could happen at this point.
Yeah,
and we've all felt that. We saw so many events that looked like they were ramping up. It really looked like there was going to be a hit on Iran. It really looked like that this past week.
That's all part of it, isn't it? They're looking for something to blame Iran.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
And there was a big deal made about Canada asking Iran's representatives to leave, but Canada's one of the last of the big countries that haven't. Most people did that in 97 and 2001, 2002. So I'm not taking that as a very big deal, other than, you know, our government's a bunch of whiners. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. When I first saw earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday, and most of the news is just catching up with it, you know, Friday or Saturday. But when I saw this on Tuesday, I went, is this what's going to happen on Sunday? Is this what you're going to do? You're going to try to hit Iran? But it looks like something might have started, and American satellites all of a sudden stopped working. They're calling it a computer virus, but there's been so many strange, like, banking glitches and ATM glitches and satellite glitches, communications glitches, that they're all saying, oh, bad software, but I don't think so. And, you know, maybe they try to make their move, and Kesha's right. They really have that technology, and they said, you try it, we shut you down.
Yep.
Could be that, too.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, because...
It works that way, as a matter of fact.
it was all set up. I mean, I was watching the ceremony, and it was really building up because they're going through all the elements.
Mm-hmm. You know? That they normally do, yeah. The rhetoric and the basic ritual of we're about to pick a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The saber huddling. All those things. And Iran is being relatively quiet. They're being, of course, people are saying they're saying stuff, but in general, they're just holding back. So we'll see. Now, Cash hasn't gotten in touch with me yet, and supposed to. I'm thinking it'll be after the meeting he has for the scientists later this week, but we'll see what happens on that. I would love it to be true.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go in there and get Tracy 2.0, because I was thinking about it. Until, I read the small detail and the actually called Chimera antibody, and I'm like, what? Really? You're just going to call it that?
So explain, because not everybody heard what this is about, mm-hmm. but you had a proposal made to you, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Now, stem cell therapy, I think I misunderstood what they were doing. I'm thinking human. I'm thinking actually my own, because they can take yours and let it grow, right? But no. The stem cell therapy, and a lot of people don't think about this, but that was one of Obama's first moves, was to make that legal. And it's not just human DNA they're messing with. It's animal DNA. And they're mixing it. They made a spider goat. They made a human pig. It's in Texas. You can look it up. And they're not saying how much human DNA it has, but they've gone over, they've found a way around the problems they were having growing these chimeras by splicing the mitochondrial DNA again, and now they can make it look any way they want. They can make it look human, they can make it look animal. Although, when I saw this pig, and it looked out at the screen, not at me, but it felt like it was looking at me, and it was disturbing.
It had that sentience.
Yeah. When it looked out at the camera, you felt that it knew it was looking at.
Cool.
Yeah.
The eyes follow you.
Well, they were aware. They seemed aware to be.
Mm.
Very conscious. And pigs are odd anyway. And I've always been creeped out about them, and always thought they're too strange anyway.
Yeah, I've heard that the pig is a cross between a wild boar and a human, and that's one of the reasons that we're not supposed to eat them.
I've heard that too, and many, many religious texts say that in one way or another, and we don't need to really tweak them to use like livers and things out of them. Mm. But now we've tweaked them in a way I find really disturbing. And we've tweaked more than that. We talked about earlier this year that they've admitted all kinds of chimeras in MKUltra University here in Canada, McGill University, which is notorious for things like that.
That's like old Atlantis. And I think the Minotaur? I think the Minotaur was one of these chimeras.
Me too.
That was really a little too powerful.
Me too.
And perhaps the... Yeah.
And, yeah, why do we have so many different hybrid texts and, so many different books and religions and ancient tales? It had to come from somewhere. And of course, it's not that far-fetched. We've bred certain characteristics into animals and out of them to change their appearance, to make them different. We've done the same with plants to make them hardier, grow faster, different apples and things like that. But this is a new thing. And that's why I brought it up on Friday. I was shocked about how open they are about it.
Mm. They're not afraid to put it out in the open now. No one seems to care anymore. Because it's like, we saw that in science fiction, that's obvious, you know, and all that.
That and the steps that they've made with computers. And they're even admitting one of them is sentient.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about, is it Big Blue, Deep Blue?
Deep Blue. Deep Blue became sentient in 2004.
Deep Blue.
Deep Blue. And there's more of them now. To the point where, and one of the things I started off by talking about on the news part on Friday was, what if what's really controlling everything is a conscious computer mind?
Isn't that what was his name? Charles was talking about that Cockney bloke from Project Camelot.
Could be.
That contact now. What was the name of the machine? They just called it the machine. And I think it was you lay in this jelly thing. He said it wasn't pleasant.
I bet.
You lay in this jelly thing and it kind of sees you.
I didn't see that one, but I know that they're thinking, well, they're right now downloading people's memories because they're pretty sure they're going to be able to do this in the next 20 years.
Oh, that's good. I could enjoy my time in the 70s.
That's right. You can enjoy it again.
And remember it this time.
They've made a computer mouse brain, basically. They made it. It's already made. And then from there, I went to Prometheus, the movie, and was surprised to find how far they went into the movie. Now, of course, because I'm thinking of it, I can't remember it now, but, Wayland Corporation. There's a website, and it talks about David, the computer.
I had a look at that.
Isn't that wild?
Isn't that the creepiest thing that you've ever seen?
That's the creepiest thing, and they're telling you about their transgenic manifesto and what David does and how he's stated in art, and you can get this. And I'm like, you guys put a lot of work into this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it really looks like a, you know, this,
it's real.
It, you know, like it's a proper brochure, yeah.
Yeah, it does. And that's how they do it. And when I saw that, that blew my mind. And I slipped across that accidentally. And I'm like, they're really, really serious about this stuff. And there's a whole community called H2, you know, basically human.
All right.
2.0. And there's this whole transgenic community that's in every religion. Mormons have a temple for that. There's a Muslim group. There's a Christian group. Like, everyone you could think of.
So, you know, what we're talking about is like the dark side of the seventh ray. Like the Borg.
Yeah.
Where everybody is perfect. Everything is efficient. Now, have you ever heard of a man called Al Bielek?
Sounds familiar.
He was the guy who fell off the USS Eldridge while it was traveling through time and ended up in the future. Have you heard of this man? Have you heard of this? You know the Eldridge, Philadelphia experiment?
Yes.
Yeah? He fell off the ship while it was traveling through time and landed, this is a story anyway, and landed in, what is it, the 2178 or something like that. you know, a good deal in the future, and also was able to travel to the 3000, you know, year 3000 or something like that. You know, within that first jump, he goes on to a second jump. Apparently, the USS Eldridge is reappearing every 20 years somewhere on the Earth in random places.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. So there's this kind of time travel component. Anyway, so what Al Bielek is saying, or what he said about the particular timeline that he went down, was that there was an artificial intelligence that was running small local communities, serving their needs. Everybody was perfect, fit, and healthy, and happy, and every town was like a nation state. So it was a kind of independent socialist local economy kind of, but you know, there were tourists and everything like that.
Nice.
And he spent time as a tour guide, because he found out about the place that he lived in, and you know, would show these other people, you know, people would come and look at the community, see how they were doing the world. That's quite an interesting thing, isn't it?
And obviously he got back, or he wouldn't have told his story.
That's right.
Did he stay here, or did he leave? Is he the gentleman who was talking about that, and then all of a sudden disappeared off the net?
He died last year.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, apparently. At least the one that came back this time did. You never know.
Yeah,
how can you tell with time travelers, you know? You might see them one day, and then you see them 10 months later, and it's like the next day to them. Times like that. Yeah. You still there, Tracy?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I had to talk to my cat, who's losing it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the cat's losing it.
Yeah, every so often, this Missy's just gone.
So, Bell Book and Campbell, back to the Yellow Book. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, because I said I'd be focused in this. So, the Yellow Book is this device that has these three rings, and it produces something like a three-dimensional hologram image inside the third ring, once the thing's spinning up fast enough, that is a portal through time and space to wherever you direct your intent towards it.
Okay.
But it also seemed to have an effect on it that was made by the person who was ordering the vision. And this is one of the things that Brock Brader came up with, is that and this is what their problem was, is that their problem was that they were... Right. Their problem... They wanted to effect a particular agenda. And they were trying to check against the future whether this agenda was going to work. And they would try to move events so that the people would move towards the agenda that they wanted. But the problem was the free will involved in so going against the natural flow of time caused the flow of time to move further towards the free will aspect of the timelines, and therefore away from the timeline that they wanted, which precluded free will. Did I make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? So there's...
Everyone have their own thoughts of what it is, no matter what they're told, right?
Yeah. So they were trying to make it so that nobody could think. But it was their own thinking themselves that pushed everybody onto the good timeline. And I now know why Alfred Lumbermont Weller is giggling like a madman. Because, you know, it is a kind of one of these ironic jokes. That's not to say that they didn't have nuclear weapons planted under the Big Ben today. They just weren't allowed to use them. Because it really feels like it's cleared tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. That no matter what they tried, maybe we've reached the number of us that are
awake.
Yeah, conscious and saying we've had enough of it and we're not playing. No matter how many scary things they throw at us, we're saying, yeah, but that's not going to happen. Maybe God alone is stopping it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, it'll be interesting to watch Benjamin Fulford this week.
Yeah, that will be great.
See what he has to say, because he seems to be sort of on the pulse beat there. There's that guy who put in the lawsuit, Neil Keenan. Somebody sent Fulford a letter last week saying that this guy was has been under attack. He was like saying his neighbor or something like that. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything from anyone else yet whether that's a real thing or not. But basically, what they're saying is that the Fed have targeted the guy who has been putting the lawsuit out against them, against the Federal Reserve and the criminal cabal, with the the $1 trillion lawsuit, $13 trillion. How many trillion? It's just a ridiculously huge number. Gazillion.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, blah blah blah. Did you wander off? So.
No, I'm still with you. There's so many things. Somebody came up with a lawsuit apparently against the Queen because of what we were talking about. The stone is in Canada.
Yeah.
That she should have used to become Queen of England.
Yeah, that is a really weird thing. That would be a good thing to have up on a website somewhere, wouldn't it? Yeah. And it's in the Winnipeg Museum, isn't it? And Marxist.
It's not even a museum. It's sitting there on the
on the ledge.
On in the legislative building in Winnipeg. Just sitting there, just where anyone could see and touch it. We touched it.
And
did nothing happen as far as I know.
Nothing went ding.
Nope. It felt powerful. It did. It almost felt like there was something inside the stone, which was odd.
Probably
almost trapped inside the stone.
Probably a frog.
Who knows?
You hear about that.
There's those boxes that there's, I guess, a Jewish text that capture evil souls. Maybe a stone can do the same thing.
Oh, like holding the genie in the bottle.
Like a genie in the bottle.
Yeah, or a garden gnome. You know, I think garden gnomes are there. You know, you build this thing, and it's a temple for them. It's like it's a gnome shaped thing so that they can live in. Yeah, this is getting a bit bizarre. Yeah, okay, garden gnomes are real, and they live in your concrete garden gnomes. Well, interesting, possible.
They could, you never know.
Yeah, they could live on the fifth ray of the astral plane. And probably like concrete.
Yeah, at this point, you know, I'm not saying anything's completely off the table.
It's a very long and weird shaped table.
Yeah.
So... Yes, where were we? It's, yes, Yellow Book. And so, yeah, timelines and moving from one to the other. And, I definitely feel like we've moved from one place to another. And
does it feel like it's happening faster and faster to you?
That, too. Getting over something?
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden we're in one direction, then it sharply changes, and then going in one direction, it sharply changes again. Instead of taking years and months, it's taking sometimes hours to change, and then changing again in the next hour.
Yeah, and every time it changes to something slightly more right, or slightly more perfect, or slightly more congenial, to use William Stilling's words. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. Things are just actually looking up, even though there's so many things that are appearing to go wrong all over the planet. Of course, the Earth is having incredible movements, but I just feel this is our natural course. It would be nice if they didn't spray crap in the skies so that we could be doing it the way we should be doing it. But I think even that isn't having the effect they had thought.
Yeah, I think maybe they didn't count on the Earth itself cleaning itself.
Yeah, the Earth actually being conscious and saying, wait a minute. I'm going to do something. We have a question in the room.
Yeah, go on. I'll give that to you because I know very little about the Stone of Scone, apart from it's called the Stone of Scone, and is supposed to come from Edinburgh? I don't know. And it was supposed to be the stone upon which the Queen is crowned, and all coronations must happen on the stone, otherwise they're illegal, according to the Magna Carta, which is the law of the land in Britain. Is that right?
That's what I would have said.
Okay.
And that's as far as I know about it, other than it's in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
And you've seen it, touched it, and maybe even sit upon it.
We couldn't sit on it. It was encased in glass, although you can, the front part you can't touch. You can touch the back of it.
Oh.
We tried to move it. We did, but we couldn't.
Yeah.
They thought, you know, eventually Tracy and Tobias would come in there and we would be messing with it. So we couldn't get it out.
Yeah. So you couldn't take it back with you?
No, we couldn't. And that would have been funny because we didn't say it, but we both looked at each other and I thought, there's no way we can get this out of here. I don't even think it.
Not even if you could. It would be cool if you could levitate it.
Well, I had a really baggy dress on. I thought maybe I should. You don't know if I'm pregnant. I could just put it under my top, but no, we couldn't do it. It's sitting there. It's just sitting there.
Well, there you go.
In a relatively dark corner that I think hundreds of people walk by and they don't even notice it.
It's a historic thing.
Just sitting there. I know. We were surprised, so many little things in that building like that, and it was like people just didn't get what they're being surrounded by at all.
Well, for things that people don't get what they're being surrounded by, I take the last 28 days of Olympic things. You know, all these things going.
True, true.
Yeah.
True.
So, has anyone checked the has anyone checked the news?
Has anyone checked the site? Is anything going on? I'll do a quick look at the my favorite disaster map.
Nothing in London. Paralympics close in fiery finale. The London 2012 Paralympics comes to an end with a fiery finale, an official handover to the next host city, Rio de Janeiro. I saw Boris Johnson, Bullingdon boy. Oh wow, there was some lots of wire acts, high wire acts, people floating around on Rihanna was being carted around on this floating chair.
Interesting.
Oh god, there's a guy completely on fire on a bicycle. No, that's not a real person. No, there's somebody being towed on a bicycle. That's right. Yep.
And how's that supposed to do with anything?
Exactly. Oh, maybe this is fire. Fiery beings. Maybe.
We have a volcano in Nicaragua. We have an earthquake in China. We have an unknown biological hazard in Vietnam. That could be because of those rats that were dying. They're all over.
Rats are dying?
Mm. Well, they've had so much flooding. And there were dying rats all over the coast.
Mm.
The coast, which is pretty much the whole country now. And an unknown biological hazard in China. But still... Oh, the Zhangting River, that's the red one now. But there's a couple places with red rivers. You and I were talking about that one day, and I don't know how we got on the topic, but talk about almost biblical. You know, all we need is like frogs falling out of the sky. And I think we had that one this year. Frogs. I saw a picture of a whale that appeared in the friggin' middle of a field in England. Like, what's going on? It's a whole
Was there by any chance a flower pot nearby?
No. Are you missing one?
There's a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
And in the beginning of that, there was... They came out of hyperspace with the improbability generator, and they sent up a couple of this planet sent up a couple of rockets, and because it hit the improbability field, both rockets turned one turned into a sperm whale, and another one turned into a bowl of petunias. I know. So I'm thinking sperm whale in a field, you know, and I think it was...
Well, I'll have to look at the picture again. Maybe there is a flower pot inside.
Yeah, so anyway, that was pretty random. So all the... A sperm whale in a field? I haven't seen that one.
It's on my Facebook page. I was laughing.
I thought I'd seen it all.
Yeah, that was it. I said, there's something you don't see every day.
Is that total news?
All of a sudden, well, there's a whale. What? There's the cows in the field and the sheep and a whale. Hmm.
Right. Yeah, that stopped. And, The thing about the red rivers is, yeah, it could be algae blooms because of the heat. But it could be residue from planet Nibiru, which
could
have lots of oxide falling out of the sky.
Well, there's all kinds of things falling from the sky, and the star water contains some strange RNA. Components.
That's the RNA, is it?
It has RNA in it, which they call basically dormant DNA.
Mm.
So that's what RNA is, basically. So it could be spawning. It could be regenerating our planet. It could be repopulating our planet. Could be evolution part 12 or whatever we're on now, who knows. But they found biological components in the rain a couple weeks ago in Canada. And it's from the star water, and then the whole star water thing came out right after it. All you need is carbon and electricity. You need a carbon 7 atom, basically, which we all have in our pineal gland. So all kinds of things. Are happening right now, and it's just we've definitely picked a wonderful time to be here. You know, things have changed so fast, even in my lifetime.
Well, let's go back to this thing that's changing fast, because did you see the video? It's on YouTube. Okay, that really narrows it down. Called The Mayan Calendar Moves North, or Finally Comes North, or Something Goes South. Goes West. By Ian X. Lungold. It came out a couple of years, you know, went did the rounds a couple of years ago. Did you ever see that one, Tracy?
No, I haven't seen that one.
All right. Well, he was talking, you know, like the Mayan stepped pyramids. That each of the steps represents a geological period of time, or a period of time, number of cycles. And that at each level, say you start off with, you know, maybe from the atomic level to the molecular level, and then from a molecular level to the biological level, and then from the biological level to the, you know, and you go further and further up, and you go through each thing, and each time, each cycle is 1/20th the size of the last. And so the first cycle is like 20 billion years, and the second cycle is 1 billion years. And
yes, I did see that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he said it's going to finish about this time. I don't think it's finished. I think it's spinning ever faster, and that we're going through these periods of time. And what he was saying is that every time you go through a period of one of these cycles, it goes through the same number of different sub-cycles with the, you know, it's like the pattern of the tarot or something like that, that, you know, you go through the specific process through these different ones, and that they all end up on this one day, this one moment. And that at the very top of it, the cycles get smaller and smaller. So the last cycle would be like 20 days, and the last but one cycle would be 20 days, and then the next one would be one day, and then the next one would be 1/20th of a day, and so on, so on, so on, until we finally get to that point. And every time, every cycle is the same as one of the bigger cycles in terms of the amount of evolution you do.
Like a spiral going inwards.
No, higher. Yeah.
Tighter, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what we're... And I can really feel that.
I can feel it, too.
So, I'm kind of letting go of worldly things at the moment. And if I need to deal with paperwork, well, I'll deal with the paperwork when somebody asks me. I'll just sign my name on it or whatever. Or not. Or not sign my name at all anymore.
Yeah, I'm less concerned.
Yeah.
About things. I've become
comfortably
very close to vegan recently in the last couple of weeks, and it's just been a natural process.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm a big meat eater, but just not anymore.
Yeah, actually this weekend, I've been on much lighter food. I didn't feel like having any meat or anything like that, and just having rice yesterday. So, that was quite interesting.
So I picked out yesterday, me and my family went out, it was so much fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was fun. Ah, it's fun. I'm lucky, you know, sometimes with my family it's a blast.
Fun with the Kennedys.
Fun with the Kennedys. We went to a racetrack. It was such a hoot.
What kind of creatures were
horses.
Racing? Horses.
Horses, yeah. Horses were racing. And it was so cute. My stepdad gave me $20. Gave me and my son $20. I'm like, is this my allowance? Was I a good girl? He goes, no, but, you know, just in case. We're still hoping. I said, thanks for confidence. And you know, it was just like $2 bets, and you know, it was fun, and there was a great big buffet, and it's hilarious how much food you can consume just because there's a lot of it there.
Hopefully you weren't eating with two hands.
Oh, yeah. Shovel. Here's my shovel.
Oh.
It was fun, and we were watching the horses run around. I'm like, okay, which one? So first we tried to be technical. The first couple of races, my son and I, just like our horses came in last. And I said, okay, I'm picking the pretty names. And then we started winning when I just picked random horses. It was funny. It was fun. It was a fun day, and just little pieces of enjoyment with all this pressure. You know, I doing the news, I find there's some days that I just look at it and say, ugh. There's just so much terror porn. I can't be involved, and I just think of something else to do. Or I pick one article and just break it down. And there's lots of places, especially online, a lot of the alternative places for news, I find, say the exact same articles, and they panic, and they, you know, the world's coming to an end, and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, well, maybe your world, and maybe it needs to. My world's still looking pretty good. Sitting here by the river, it's gorgeous. You know, the sun's setting, it's pretty, pretty skies. I'm loving it. And I'm kind of enjoying being here at this time with all these changes. People are changing. You know, earlier this year, it was looking so negative. People just seemed so grumpy. And now it's like there's a split. You almost don't even notice certain people anymore. They're just in their negativity, and it's like it doesn't really affect me as they walk by anymore. It's like they don't even see me there. It's odd. Are you still here, JP? By talking to myself. Well, I'm not sure if I've lost JP. If I am talking to myself, so I'll just keep going till he goes back. So, in general, things are going well. The Illuminati clock ran out today. 1 o'clock, well, I think quarter after one, my time. Nothing happened. Oh, there you are. Nothing happened. Everything still looks cool. I haven't seen anything other than that weird bike on fire, which makes no sense. They like bringing up that Burning Man guy every so often. I guess they pull that out whenever they can. Hello, JP. Are you back? Well, looks like JP's on. He just called me. And I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Oh, you can hear me now.
I can.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Oh, thank God for that. I don't know what happened there.
That's odd.
So, there was another one of those weird glitches. Yes.
That's a weird glitch. Yeah, maybe it's the burning fireman, so you have to comment on that now.
Yeah, the burning fireman, the wicker man.
The wicker man, yeah. We have to do that blood ritual. It's not time. We're past spring. We're almost fall. You can't do it this time of year.
It's still strong.
It's back for anyway.
So, I don't know why you lost the sound there. I'm getting reports. I'm hearing reports. I'm fine.
I can hear you. They're saying welcome back.
Well, all right, I'm back. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Back at you, JP. All right, okay. So, yes, thank you for doing that. Although, I could hear me, but they couldn't. Have I gone again?
No, you're still here.
All right, okay. Good, right. Okay, so that's fun. Yeah, so there's been a lot of this kind of little things that kind of could send everybody into panic mode.
Yes.
And they're just trying to trigger us.
They're trying so hard, and for some reason, it's just not working anymore.
Yeah.
Not enough of us are being triggered.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like what used to be a kind of raging fit is now nothing more than a slight headache.
Yeah, it was funny. Someone sent me, well, I won't even say his name, this strange man who a lot of people go to for news who yells and screams, and I wouldn't even watch it. And guess what? In Ohio, there is now another Red River.
Mm-hmm.
River flood again?
Is it poisoned?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
People freaked out when they saw it. They're just not sure what it is, if something had dumped dye in it. But just happened.
Hmm. The rivers turn red. Maybe it's Nibiru. Because, you know, this is a cloud of iron. Magnetic clouds. Iron filings.
Magnetic iron and, well, carbon 7. That's the carbon 6. Carbon 12 is blood, right? So if this carbon 7, which they're talking about being fallen, is a new form of genetic material, maybe that's what it is.
Mm.
Where's the second one? The second one is in Ohio, and I will look that up right now. Ohio River.
Right. There's it. Is the river close to Wright-Patterson, says Bright Eyes?
I don't know.
Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Bam, bam, bam. Right, so yeah, I'm gonna have the, because I got that clip once of from Star Trek. Have I got it? Yeah.
Which one?
That bam, bam, bam.
Oh yeah, something wicked this way comes. I don't know. Everything's turning red. These people have written out. They have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. What have I got?
Karen, I just got your question, and I'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, it's about sweat lodges.
Oh, right, yeah, good idea. I thoroughly enjoyed the sweat lodge.
Did you like that?
Yeah, when I did one, yeah, it was great. It was a bit hot, though.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. I can't do them. But I wouldn't have before. Oh, sure, why don't we talk about it? There are many, many tribes have women do them as well. Many do. I have to say, I was told women don't need them. Now, again, every tribe's different. They don't need them because we have to think of what a sweat lodge is, what it represents going into a womb. If you have one, you don't need to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do how you feel. Do what you feel. Myself, with the physical problems I have, I go in a sweat lodge, I'm going to need an ambulance. But even before I needed an ambulance, I rarely did that, although occasionally I'd go in a sauna.
Hmm.
So.
Oh, I'm just remembering the that feeling at the back of your nasal cavity that is all dried out. That's an odd feeling.
Herbs that make you sick or no?
Oh, no, I didn't do anything with that. No, we just, it was just like a kind of bunch of naked hippies in a in a hot place. No, it was good though. It was, you know, it was introducing me to the sort of idea of it. Yeah, pretty intense though. I could imagine
yeah,
it.
That's
you know,
experience. Did they burn? Like, how did they do it? Did they burn herbs? Were you inhaling, like sage and stuff? And it was hot, or was it just stones? Or how'd they do it?
Well, it was you know a dome, and there were about 13 of us all sat around. And sweating, and I was like, my nose was just at the underneath the corner of the tent, breathing the cool air from the underneath the edge of the tent, because I couldn't quite handle it. I suppose that's what you meant to go through. I didn't do that at the time.
Yeah, it was supposed to, that's what it's supposed to be. A trial, you know, a physical trial.
Oh yeah, Wolf Baby is just reminding me. She, just to jump again back to the control mechanism. She was talking about the color blue has been featuring a lot this week, and that one of these colors is like a mind controlling color.
Blue comes up has come up a lot.
That it's to do with it's like I think it's connected with the 432 hertz thing, you know, the music that has been tweaked up. I believe the frequency of the color blue that we get is this tweaked up.
Is wrong.
Excuse me.
Is wrong.
Yeah, the color is just slightly wrong.
Off.
Yeah. Slightly off. And I think that is a relationship to the 430, 440 kind of debate about musical frequencies. I have my guitar. I tuned it this afternoon to 432. Oops, doesn't sound very good there.
And now it's out of tune.
There we go. Hang on. Let's come back from the mic. It's a very sensitive mic. I don't need to shout into it. Yeah, so we were just playing these notes now. So this guitar is tuned at 432 hertz. It's still not in tune. Embarrassing. It somehow there's a resonance to it. I don't know if it's just that's like a somatic, but it does feel like it feels nicer, doesn't it? Yeah, so anyway, that's the guitar tuned at 432 hertz. And it just has this kind of slightly more...
melodic.
Yeah, melodic, more organic, more wholesome feel to it.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. Thanks, Dolly.
It's a little crashy in me.
What's this kismet thing?
Awesome. Kismet. He's trying not to say...
Oh, I see. But it kind of comes up in this funny characters.
Yeah.
Like a logo. You know, I have my T-shirt.
Do you have a T-shirt with that on it?
No, but, you know, it would be an idea, wouldn't it? It looks like a logo. So anything... And so where were we? You're going, go. You got something.
No, as far as I can tell, other than this strange redness happening everywhere, which, you know, we've talked about a lot, we're getting this cosmic rain. All it needs is an electrical charge, which it's getting, And it changes. We're getting hit by cosmic DNA that's been sitting in our heliosphere for Lord knows how long, just waiting for times like this, and they can't stop it. I don't think it was a spill. They can't all be spills.
No, I think this is a natural thing.
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing, which is why it's in so many ancient texts. It has to be from something.
Yeah. So, okay. So, what about the plasma arc thing? All right?
Oh, yeah.
So, plasma arcs create little wormholes.
They do?
Yeah. Did you
and
know that?
We've had several more filaments on their way.
That's right. And one day, one of them's going to snake right out and go lock onto our planet.
Well, we're already getting it. We're getting it.
Yeah.
Already. It's just, it's not full force yet. Full force will be something to behold.
Well, you know those those Tesla balls?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's a sort of metal globe a couple of feet wide and it's throwing out this enormous spark to the, you know, to the edge of the room. And
yes.
The spark is kind of, it's not like just a, it's like, you know, it's going on. I think that's what's going to happen to the sun.
Could be.
Yeah.
We have one.
Not that I like the, you know, to find a new disaster every moment, you know, but it might not be a disaster.
You don't know because, you know, I think it's happened before, but NASA and its immaculate stupidity called this big pigtail molecular cloud that's now only 30,000 light years away, which looks a lot like Stairway to Heaven kind of thing. It also reminds me a little bit of Jacob's Ladder, and I think our ancient people saw this before, or we wouldn't have the exact same stories all over, and I have pictures of that. We're already getting hit by this, and there's actually another one coming that came after from the center of the galaxy again. So we're in some active times, and so far so good. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I think we've got off quite lightly today.
No, I think we're okay, because what they don't plan for, and NASA is very jumpy. All the space agencies right now are really jumpy. And they're coming out with things now. They're even, you know, telling their own people to get ready and prepare. There was even another zombie thing from CDC and a couple of the American agencies, you know, just tongue-in-cheek saying, you know, be prepared just in case. Because I think they're waiting for their grids to completely fall apart. Their, you know, telecommunications and all that. I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any time.
And I think today is the day that the carpet was pulled from under the rug.
With you. And that very strange flare that happened out of nowhere for no particular reason.
Yeah.
Except for what I saw on Friday, which was this filament, which looked like a ladder to me. Looked like a spiral staircase. Why would we make them? Why? Unless we'd seen it somewhere.
Interesting. Very interesting. So, have you got a picture of that?
On the Facebook. Friday. Friday is the spirally one, and then I have a 3D representation in a cube.
Ah, 3D representation. All right. Oh, I see. That's the blue thing.
Yeah, that's the blue thing.
The blue. More blue there, Wolf Baby. Yeah.
Yep. More blue.
Yeah, more blue. So where are we? Where's the other one?
So it's again particles and electricity.
Yeah. So yeah, plasma arcs and pyramids has been the flavor of the month, really, for the last of August.
It sure has.
The Ark of the Covenant, the interview that Rebecca and I did with Jerry Cannon.
Mm-hmm, that's awesome.
Did you catch that?
I did.
Yeah.
Listen to you guys.
And then I was looking at the, this. Well, I burned myself with a plasma arc. It's just like, hello.
You have been
anyone there?
Often lately.
Yeah, well, it's good because I'm learning about the Fireburn Doctor and not to be afraid of fire.
Okay.
As long as I've got a phone, I'm fine. You know.
You're okay. Yep.
I got my back.
You certainly challenged your, tested your resolve.
Oh, we have a call-in at several minutes to the hour. Add this 19. Hello, area code somewhere, 1941. What year are you from?
What year?
Who's speaking?
Dolly.
Dolly Angel, hello.
Hello, Dolly.
We keep saying in the chat room that we'd like JP to continue playing a song all the way through.
Oh. Oh. Oh, bless. When I'm put on the spot, I can never think of something to play. Okay, I get your... So, do you have any requests?
Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, no,
every guy learns that. That's a first.
Yeah, I know, but I can't sing it. It's the singing thing.
You
don't
have to sing it. Just play it.
Yeah, actually, you know, there's one that I would like to do.
Okay.
It's Leonard Cohen. So, one of these Canucks, eh?
Yeah.
Here, when you play, just dance something.
So, yeah, this is, I like this song. So, I'm going to say thank you very much, Dolly, for calling in. I'd like to say thank you very much, Tracy, for calling in. Do you want to be on the line while I do this?
I'll just hang up myself and listen through my speakers.
It'll be better on the radio.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dolly.
Yeah. Thanks, Tracy.
Good night.
Thank you, Tracy.
Bye, Tracy. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye. So. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. I'll give a take a night or two. Everybody knows that you've been discreet, but there were so many people that you had to meet without your clothes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you, and everybody knows that you live forever. When you've done a line or two, and everybody knows that the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows that the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. Everybody knows that you've been in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through, from the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach of Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows.
Beyond.